You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Henshaw and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to our show today. We're so happy that you've joined us for a conversation with Dawn Karima. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. And I'm thankful for Adam H. funding this series to make it possible for our guest to be here, too. Would you please introduce yourself to all our friends that are listening?
Thank you, Dawn. Greetings, everybody. My name is Noreen Hill. I'm from the United Tribe. I'm the executive director and founder of Mother Nation. I want to say segole to all of our Haudenosaunee women out there listening, and greetings to all Indigenous people.
Welcome to our show. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Very glad to be here.
Two words, powerful words, Mother Nation. What does that mean?
Mother Nation is basically, we are the daughters of warriors, sisters of survivors, and mothers of the resilient. That's who we represent in our work that we do. We were originally named Native Women in Need. We were a volunteer group back in 2012, and we started growing and healing together. And then this name came forward, this advertising company came forward to meet us, and they asked if we wanted the name change. And we brought in all of the sisters that we helped off the street, our elders that were survivors of boarding schools, and we came together, and the name came Mother Nation.
That is beyond beautiful. That is wonderful. Will you please tell us about Mother Nation and what work you do now, maybe events that you have coming up? What are you doing to serve our community?
Well, Mother Nation is basically a Native grassroots-led organization. We started off in our cars downtown Seattle, helping our Native women off the street, and we were going along the tribal communities of Tulalip, Muckleshoot, and Lummi in Washington State to help women who were not from those tribes that couldn't access services to get support and to get to safety. So anybody who calls us, we help them. And with our elders who came out of retirement to join us, they offer healing groups to our women. So we have specialized services where we have elders who have been in the field of sexual assault for 40 years, domestic violence, and recovery. So we brought them together in our groups and offered them healing. The women are actually the ones that chose what they wanted. It's really survivor-driven. And we have wraparound services of homeless prevention, homelessness emergencies, and we also have a mentorship program. So we have women who join our Mother Nation team and family and work with us. We also offer training to the tribe for social service providers. We support them in the work that they're doing for trauma-informed care to help them, because, you know, we're all survivors as Indigenous people, and we all need support. The work is hard sometimes that we do, especially with the, you know, the 6,509 Indigenous children's graves found across the border and over here. It's been affecting a lot of our folks, and the missing and murdered Indigenous women. We work with families that are looking for their loved ones. We offer them support. We offer them a hotel for a week or two, how long ever it takes to help find their loved ones. We feed them. We do ceremony with them before they go and do the search. And we also, we've helped, I'm not sure how many women we've helped since we started. I know that I myself am a survivor, as well as everyone on our team and our elders on the board. So we know what's going on. We've all been there. And Creator has really blessed us in this work. We started off with $10 in the bank. We used to do powwow trails and sell fry bread to powwows. and now we've got funders coming to us, offering us funding. We get a lot of private funding so that we can really work on our cultural services that are needed for our women. And we do things like women's healing talking circles weekly. We have Zoom groups every week. We're on Facebook, and Mother Nation has a Facebook page, and we advertise all of our groups on there. It's free. Anybody can come out and be part of our group. The specialized services for the sexual assault survivors and adult survivors of sexual assault, that's a closed group with an elder. That's 12 weeks. It's a 12-week curriculum based on earth-based teachings and medicines. And it really gives our sisters the cultural tools necessary to get past their trauma and to manage it and be successful in life like they were meant to be, like they were intended to be by Creator before all of this trauma happened in their lives. So we really try to help our young ones as well. We're starting a new group with our young women, the middle school age, to help them keep them safe and via prevention of MMIW, and let them steer the group and see what kind of crafts or what kind of interests that they have. That's starting in January. And we do take care of our men as well. We have male staff that have joined us. We have Gene Hagabon. We have Glenn Pinkham and Ruben Twin Jr. They're on our team. John Gobatayo. They support our men, our single dads. Sometimes our women are really, really struggling, so the dads take over. So they support the single dads that come out, and they also have men's groups as well for the men on Thursdays between, I think it's 3 and 5 on Thursdays. And what we're doing this month that's coming up is really big for us, is we're offering a Healing the Spirit gathering. It's a free virtual event. And we have traditional healers coming. We have storytellers coming. We have well-renowned speakers on intergenerational trauma, generational trauma of the collective soul. Wendy Hill is coming from Cayuga Nation. Gene Tagabon is coming in. Cherokee Nation, Tlingit Filipino. He is doing Ceremony is Life. Eduardo Duran, PhD, is coming in. He's Apache, Lakota, and Tiwa. And all of our Mother Nation elders will be speaking as well. We will be having Will Bridie teaching. Well for Culture will be there. Native Wellness Institute will be there. We are offering this to the community for free. We just want to celebrate being Indigenous and our resiliency that we have as a people. So we decided to just do it for free. Our producer is Native Wellness Institute, and they produce it for free as well. So it's just been a lot of blessings all the way around to be able to offer this gathering to the community. And we have over 300 people registered now for it.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. So we're really happy about that. And it's growing. Like, the emails keep coming in. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh,
more Eventbrite tickets coming in. So we're really pleased. Everyone on the team is so happy to be able to offer this for free. We're trying to get everybody medicine bundles so that they can have something that can remember them, remind them of us, and remind them of their healing, of who they are, and to, you know, honor that path that they're on.
Oh, wow. This is wonderful. This is marvelous. I love it. I love it. I love it. Will you tell our friends how they can register?
Yeah, if you go onto the Facebook, you can go onto the Mother Nation page, and we have the advertisements there, or else you can call our office at 206-722-2321 and get the link for the registration. Or you can email us at info@mothernation.org, and you can also get the information there. And if you are a social services provider in your tribe, you have your enrollment, you can also register with the Northwest Indian College, and you can receive CEU for continuing education units for your classes, for your studies, to continue your education. So that's also offered as well. And they're a really good partner to have with us. They always come out. This is our fourth event, actually, that we're having.
That's terrific. That is terrific. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for all the work that you're doing to put that together for all of us.
Yes, it's great. And we are looking at having an Uplifting Every Child Matters ceremony in the evening on day two. So we will be having some drummers come in and singers. And if you have a relative out there that's struggling, that's a survivor, or, you know, I know we're all survivors, but if some of our survivors are still here, we want to honor them while they're still here. So we're welcoming them to this evening event as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Oh, this is very exciting. And I hear there's so many things that you're doing
that are blessing the community, that are helping people and uplifting people. Are there ways that folks can connect with you if they want to volunteer, if they want to support, if they want to take part in what you're doing aside from the conference?
Yes, aside from the conference, we just started our new project called One-to-One Street Outreach Team. It's a Mother Nation street outreach team. One-to-One is a Lakota word meaning looking for our relatives, because we have different people that come in to work for Mother Nation from different tribes. You want to honor some of the different languages out there and the teachings. So we are working in Auburn right now alongside Muckleshoot Tribe. They're working with our team at the street outreach team. We just started our work a few weeks ago, and we're looking for volunteers. We originally had a grant with City of Seattle, and it was an outreach and engagement grant for homelessness for our relatives out there, unsheltered relatives. And there was a lot of conditions that were put on it, and we decided to walk away from it because it was causing too much reporting, and they wanted us to look for relatives that weren't there. They wanted us to look for non-Native relatives. And because our women are, you know, our Indigenous women are in a state of crisis, we just couldn't do that. And we couldn't re-traumatize our people by being part of the sweep that happened. So we decided to turn that money away, and we walked away from it. And then Creator blessed us with a private grant to help us take care of our relatives where we see fit. So we started the one-to-one street outreach team after that. So it's going great. We just got a new van purchased for the group, so they can identify us and our people can go out. We started going out 3 weeks ago now, and Muckleshoot Tribe's homeless team joined us as well. So it's been going really well. We've been having people come out, and they know we're there. They know we're going to come back the same time every week. And we're handing out blankets. We're handing out food. We're handing out what we need is sleeping bags right now to get ready for the winter. Mm. And on site is our case managers are on site. We're offering, you know, a way for them to get off the streets and get them into housing. We have partnership with a lot of different shelters in Auburn and hotels that are willing to take them in as well. And the ones that are not from the tribe are the ones that we're focusing on, because they are the ones that need the help. So Muckleshoot's our first project, and we're going to move on to other tribes after that. But we want to start with Muckleshoot because they've been such a great partner to us since we started at Mother Nation.
How exciting. My goodness. Unity is our strength. It's amazing. What
definitely
happens.
Is.
Oh, people come
together.
And then
it's been beautiful to see the work come together and the team. Like we don't have a very big staff. We have around 20 staff, actually 19 staff, and 10 of the staff are part of this whole endeavor. They go out every week, and we take turns. We take different turns and shifts. So we need volunteers, if possible, to come out, you know, to help hand out items. And sometimes we go out and look for them in our cars if they don't make it to us, because it is we are on top of a hill. We're the only location we could get to do the outreach. And we also have Yahawi. Yahawi is a Oneida word meaning she's holding on to her sacred.
Oh,
that's
wow.
The heart and soul of, yeah, that's the heart and soul of Mother Nation. So we have that is our domestic violence, sexual assault, and sex trafficking mobile advocate. Their names are Yahawi Service Advocates. And then the elders who do the groups are the Yahawi Circle. So we have the Yahawi Healing Circle, which is on Tuesdays from noon till 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. It's an open circle for any Indigenous women that need to come forward and be part of an elder's guidance. And they get to, basically, it's the women there that are driving the agenda for it. So if there's grief and loss, we'll talk about grief and loss. If there's forgiveness, we'll talk about forgiveness. And the elder Ramona Otto is from Yakama Nation. She's also our board chair. She's the first elder I went to coffee with to start the whole programming that we're doing now. And in the afternoons, we have the Good Medicine Recovery Circle for Yahawi women who want to come in and who are struggling with recovery. You know, sometimes the recovery is necessary. The support is needed because our women have been through so much. Some of them have turned to drugs and alcohol. And the group is for ones who are in recovery from that and that want to do more.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Elder Rose Looking. She's a Assiniboine Sioux. She does that group. She's our former chairwoman of Mother Nation. And then we have the Yahawi Healing Journey, which is a sexual assault program on Wednesdays. That's with Elder Arlene Red Elk. She's from Jamestown Tsklallam Tribe, and she also carries many Lakota teachings as well from her husband, Bob Red Elk. And that group is a very specialized services that goes on for 12 weeks. And then because that went so well, that part of the program, the group, we started an aftercare program. So there's an aftercare program as well that our sisters come out to, and a lot of them are our mentees now. We have mentees on staff, so we're really glad to have them on staff, and we're excited to start the new group in January for our young women.
This is thrilling. This is wonderful. Thank you so much for this great work and for helping people in this way. We have friends who listen from all over the world, many different countries, as well as our precious indigenous nations and our allies. And someone might be thinking, what's the difference, right? Doesn't the state social services or, you know, government programs, don't they do a lot of this stuff? What makes it different when indigenous people help other indigenous people?
I think the difference is because we've been through so much historically with the genocide and, you know, the Indian Relocation Act.
Yes.
A lot of our folks, like even our elders on our team, are boarding school survivors. We have one who's second generation Indian Relocation Act survivor. So we had a lot of natives sent to Seattle, promised all these different things that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of women who are targeted because, you know, because they're indigenous women, they get targeted because there's no laws in the tribes to help our women. If a white man comes to a tribe and does something to our native women, our police can't charge them.
Right.
So there's jurisdictional issues there. So they're targets for pedophiles and so on. And so what happens is there's no trust. So when they see an indigenous person offering their hand to help them and being an extended relative that they don't have at that time, they want those services. There's more productive services that happen. There's more engagement that happens. There's an understanding there. There's prayer that happens together. There's ceremony that happens together. If we have a Navajo sister that's needing help, we have Navajo staff who can support her. You know, if we have Lakota women needing help, we have Lakota staff that can help them. If we have Haudenosaunee women that need help, we have Haudenosaunee staff that can come help them. If we have Coast Salish people needing support, we have Coast Salish staff that can help them. And they're like extended relatives. Like, we don't even call our community homeless. We call them unsheltered relatives.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And because we have those teachings as a staff, Creator has brought us all together. We have traditional healers on our staff. We have people who carry their knowledge and their customs and their songs still in our staff, that we're able to help whatever's the cause or whatever's in need. And when we do have our unsheltered relatives who have been out there for a while and are coming back into shelter again, we offer them, you know, support and getting into housing. We don't just say, okay, we'll see you later. We got our number line ticked. We got our stats in. We do aftercare with them as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have a cultural response team that works with them. So if somebody is, you know, they need support in that transition from homelessness to housing. They've been outside for so long. You know, you can't expect them to just go shopping on their own. They need that support. They need that guidance. Sometimes they're facing, you know, racism in school because their grandson has long braid, and they just want to give up and walk away. So I'm not going to put my grandson what I went through. I'm just going to go back out again. So the population of Native people in Seattle was 8 times more likely was our population ready to go back out homeless again because the system's not working for them. But since we started doing these, since a lot of Native organizations in Seattle has been giving the opportunity to access the funding after 20 years of it just be going to the same people, those numbers have changed. Our return to home, the homeless rate is now 4.32, and Seattle's is 8.87 or something like that. So we have a different percentage of return to homeless rate because we have the cultural response team. And that was given to us through a private grant through Building Changes. But we had really good staff that worked with us, that listened to us, and they were able to help us design what we wanted to design. And they went to their trustees, and they basically approved it. That was part of the Gates Foundation funding as well. So a lot of the private funding sources that we do have are really supporting our work, as well as the City of Seattle. The Mayor's Office supports our gender-based violence work as well. We do get a lot of support. We're able to bring traditional healers in and support our women who just need that extra help, you know, rather than a group they might need to see a traditional healer and do some body work from their trauma, or they need more teachings, they might need pipe ceremony. Mm-hmm. So we're able to offer that. And it's different. It's different. You're not going to see that anywhere else. So
right.
You can't see that in a non-native institutional setting.
Right. That's right. And I thank you for sharing that with us, because I think it does make a difference in terms of healing versus just quick fixes and remedies. And I'm interested, too, to find out from you. My home is a reservation. So I'm interested to find out, do you believe that your organization faces different challenges or serves a different population due to urban natives?
No, I think that we're in a different canoe. We call them canoes here because we're in canoe world. Right? We're in canoe country here.
Yeah. Okay.
So we see Mother Nation. We see Mother Nation in our own canoe, and on the left of us is the urban canoe, and on the right of us is a tribal canoe.
Okay.
We fit in both worlds. We work with both on and off reserve folks, and many of the people that work with us and our staff are all from the tribe. Like, I still have land in my tribe. I have a home in my tribe. I go back for ceremonies. And a lot of us go back. Like, our annual vacations are all people going to ceremonies.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Coming home.
Right. Right.
I really appreciate you sharing that with us, because I think sometimes there are misconceptions and people think it's either or just this or just that. You know, balance. And so, okay, well, the word pandemic is not unfamiliar to us, right? As tribal people, we have faced genocide and pandemics before, you know, not unfamiliar. But this is the pandemic that the whole country is in now. Has the pandemic impacted the work you do or the people you serve at all?
I think we were down for about 2 weeks during the pandemic when it first hit us. And our elders, they're so cute, our elders, because a lot of them were technophobes, they call themselves. They didn't want to touch a computer or anything. So we went and got them iPads. We got every one of our elders' iPads. And we said, okay, we're going to try and do everything on Zoom so we don't lose, you know, our women who are in the middle of their healing right now. So it took 2 weeks to do that transition. We kept in touch with them. There was telephone calls for 2 weeks, and then everybody went onto the Zoom platform. And the elders just mastered it, so they're doing great. Like, one elder will slide through the screen and say, okay, Karina, can you repeat what I just said? She looks like a teacher looking down at the screen. She's so cute, one of our elders. And, you know, another elder figured out how to do packages of medicines out, send everything out prior to the group so that they can have things in their hands and be on the screen with them. You know, whether it would be like a dream catcher, beads and learning how to make a dream catcher, or whether it be a medicine wheel, or whether it be she has one called Zip and Tea, you know, and she has so many different creative things she does. It's just amazing. And or whether it's prayer ties, you know, they find a way to engage with the community still through the pandemic, and we still kept our numbers up and more women kept coming out, you know, new ones. Of course, when it was in person, we had 18 to 20 women in our group room, right? Now we have maybe 12 to 15 now. But, you know, it happens every week, and it just really, I was just so impressed by the elders who just went forward with it, got their little headsets on and all ready to go. and our mobile advocates still went out in the streets. Our numbers tripled for our women out there needing help when the pandemic hit. It was just really, really tough on some of our mobile advocates too, and our case managers, you know, because it was in the middle of a pandemic, and they never gave up. They still went out in the streets and still supported them using, you know, wearing masks, wearing the first thing that they gave us. We had to have letters saying that we're allowed to go out because we're basically first responders, because our women wouldn't go anywhere else. And the police were telling them to go. Police were telling our women, go back to your abuser. There's nothing we can do for you.
Oh my.
You know, so we had a so we had to put a lot of women in hotels to get them to safety and get them into our group so they had support. But we kept going. We didn't stop. And, you know, now what we see now because of the pandemic is it's expanded more folks to come in through different parts of the country now to be part of our Zoom group. So we have people from different areas and different time zones that have joined us, and we appreciate them coming in. And we, you know, I might take a little bit longer for them to get their package, so we know their package is out sooner. the leader, and they get their moccasin kit or whatever it is that they need for that class.
This is truly moving, and I can't wait to learn even more about what you do. We have to thank our sponsor right now. As we go to commercial,
okay.
We want to say thank you so much to Adam H. for making this possible, this series on improving Indigenous mental health. And we appreciate the grant to have this kind of conversation. We're going to pay the bills with just a few commercials here, and we're going to come right back and learn much more about Mother Nation. So we'll be right back.
Okay.
Our government doesn't seem to care that 9 million children have no health insurance, even though every dollar spent immunizing children against illness saves more than $16 in medical costs to make them better. Doesn't anyone see? We're wasting money and allowing children to get sick.
I am Susie Flynn. A vote for me is a vote for the 9 million uninsured children.
9 million uninsured children need a solution now. For more information, go to electsusie.com.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. Talk to your doctor about creating a plan that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Goodwill is a global social services enterprise and the leading nonprofit provider of job training programs and career services in the United States and Canada. To pay for its program, Goodwill sells donated clothes and other household items in more than 2,700 stores and online at shopgoodwill.com. Goodwill uses the revenue earned from these sales to fund job training, employment placement services, and other community programs. The goal of the campaign is to increase goods donations to Goodwill, inspire an emotional connection to the Goodwill brand, and to elevate preference for Goodwill.
We can give you a new heart.
We can help you walk again.
We can perform brain surgery.
We can treat a sore throat.
We can bring life into the world.
We can work so many miracles, but the one thing we cannot do is read your mind.
When you communicate with your doctor,
when you ask us more questions,
you reduce your risk of suffering a medical mistake.
Tens of thousands of lives are lost every year due to medical mistakes.
The healthcare community is working on it, but you can help.
Please, open up. Ask more questions.
What are the side effects?
When should I expect my test results?
Will this medication interact with my other prescriptions?
We can't answer if you don't ask.
Help reduce your risk.
Questions are the answer.
Learn the 10 questions you must ask. Visit www.ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Ad Council.
If you're not facing your mortgage issues, this can be the most terrifying sound in the world. It means you've fallen behind. It means hope is dwindling. It means you're another call closer to losing your home to foreclosure. Fortunately, there's hope. If you need real help and guidance, call 1-888-995-HOPE. That's 1-888-995-HOPE. 4673, because nothing is worse than doing nothing.
Hi, everyone.
Green, green, green. It's our home, it's our dream. For a life that's healthy and clean, make it green, green, green.
My mom said making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for radon. It's easy. Just call 866-730-GREEN.
Make it green, green, green.
A message from the US EPA.
Have you ever wished you could spend more time with your kids? Or maybe quality time with your spouse when you can actually have an uninterrupted conversation? Do you owe your dad a little catch-up time? Well, it's time to reconnect. And no activity can bond a family together quite like boating and fishing. I mean, think of all the great experiences you had as a kid when you went boating or fishing. Well, guess what? It's still great. Boating and fishing are the perfect opportunities for your family to get away, to talk, to laugh, to create new memories. So take someone you love out on the water and see where the water takes you. If you haven't been on the water in a while and you're not sure where to start, or if you just like to have some helpful tips for your next trip, please visit TakeMeFishing.org. This has been a public service of TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Do you overcook your pasta? Do you mix your lights with your darks and tell long, complicated jokes that have no punchline? Do you have trouble wrapping gifts, sound like a hyena when singing happy birthday, and have no idea how the metric system works? Well, if you answered yes to any of the above questions, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care, because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you can't tie a Windsor knot, forget to defrost the chicken, can't tell a latte from a cappuccino, confuse North and South Dakota, overuse commas, throw a frisbee like it's a flounder, and still believe kids really do love lima beans, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts, it's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information on how you can adopt, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
What a dynamic and truly blessed guest we have today. I'm so thankful that our guest is with us. Would you reintroduce yourself to all of us, please?
Yes, my name is Noreen Hill. I'm from the Oneida Tribe. I'm the executive director and founder of Mother Nation. We're a Native women's grassroots organization in Seattle. And we work alongside the tribes and both urban and and on reserve folks in healing. Healing is very important to our people. Without the healing, we're not going to survive. That's what our elders say. We have to relearn who we are as a Native people because the way we were taught is not ours.
I'm so grateful you're joining us today, and I want to unpack that a little bit. When you say the word healing, you know, people have all kinds of ideas of what that means. You know, but it means different things to different people. So what does it mean to you and the folks at Mother Nation?
I think for me, because I am, my grandparents were in residential school.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather ran away, and he brought his little brother with him. And if he hadn't done that, I wouldn't be able to speak my language now. My dad wouldn't have had his language. I wouldn't even be here, really, to be honest. And, then being a survivor myself of day residential school, day boarding school, so I didn't even know that for the last little while, and being a survivor of homelessness and drugs and alcohol and abuse, the only thing that saved me was my culture. You know, I was able to go out to go see a medicine woman and a medicine man. I went into the mountains and did my healing in Tennessee. And we still have, I'm a Haudenosaunee member, I'm Oneida of the Iroquois Confederacy, and we still have our ceremonies and our songs. We have our language. And if I didn't have that, if I didn't have any belief in Creator, I don't know where I'd be. You know, I escaped MMIW. I escaped from being taken. And there's just so many things that I survived, didn't even think I'd be in this work that I'm in now.
Oh.
You know, and meeting all these beautiful Native sisters who I healed with them. And a lot of them came from the streets. We opened up, we were a part of, a good dear friend asked me to be part of a recovery house for Native women, for homeless Native women. Mm. I said, okay, what did you need? He goes, well, we need something. We need culture. So we started meeting with them, and we said, what do you guys want? I brought in Elder Ramona Otto with me, and she says, well, let's go to the house and see what they want. So we did a visit at the kitchen table, and she says, we can offer some support for you all. What do you need in this house? What do you need for your program? We said, well, we would like to have talking circles.
Mm-hmm.
We would like to have a sweat lodge in a backyard so we can, you know, let go of all this trauma that we're carrying while we were using, because now we can feel again. Now we can, you know, there's different things that we're going through. We need support. Like our family doesn't accept us sober anymore.
Mm.
So one of the elders says, well, let's do a circle on a Native alcoholic family, dynamics of that, you know. And so those kind of teachings came in, and then the craft fair applied to it, and then other elders came out of retirement to join those circles. And then we created a very nice, I think it went from one workshop to 22 workshops. And a lot of it was just basically helping them manage their trauma, but using traditional medicines to do that, using sage and cedar and tobacco and sweetgrass, using different teachings of the medicine wheel, so, and also the dream catcher. So an example is the dream catcher, for every glass pointy bead that was put on the dream catcher, they would write down a milestone in their life.
Mm,
when it was 0 to 5, 6 to 10. Right to the age that they are at that point. And Elder Arlene Redalt created this dream catcher workshop. And so they would talk about their story. So each one of them would learn how to make the dream catcher. They would put their beads on, and then she'd ask them to share their story. So they would, you know, talk about the trauma that they went through. Like for me, mine was finding my sister who passed away when she was 3 years old. That was my very first pony bead because she was a baby. I was 3 years old.
Oh.
And it was white. It was a white pony bead to represent that she's with Creator now. And then I had purple beads on to represent my healing and also my nation's flag color. You know, so everybody had different teachings that they put on there to who they are today. So it takes you out of the stage of onset to who you are right now and to honor that journey. And then after that, we would go into a sweat lodge after the workshop. So we would spend a day together with that elder.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped so many women heal through that recovery house. And I was healing with them because I was the helper. So I got to see it all. I got to participate and be part of it. And, you know, I'm from the East Coast. I'm from Oneida. And I moved here on a prayer. I had a lot of dreams about the West Coast. I don't know why I was dreaming about it, but
mm-hmm.
here I am doing this work. And, you know, it's really amazing to be seeing the transformation of women that we help, to see them who they are now today.
Uh-huh.
And being part of the elders and listening to them. Every one of the elders that work with us have their own legacy of teachings that they bring in. It's just been a really huge blessing to be a part of it. We almost like we see miracles happen, and it's almost like I'm not surprised anymore. I just kind of smile and look at the new staff, and they're like, "Oh my God, can you believe this?" I'm like, "Yes, I can." I'm sitting here today as part of it, you know. But yet, the main thing that the elders teach us is that the trauma never goes away, but we just teach you how to manage it. Using medicines and using our teachings, using our prayers, our meditations, and the different. Last year at our Healing the Spirit gathering, a lot of folks that were in the Yahweh Healing Journey group, which is a sexual assault group, they wanted to come forward and share their story. She made them like a diamond willow. So a diamond willow our elders would travel, men would travel out to Montana to get the diamond willows that fall off the trees and bring them back. Mm-hmm. And Elder Arlene would have them carve those diamond willows. So outside is that kind of the ugly bark and everything else, and this is your trauma. You know, they'd go through a series of workshops on it, peeling it off, and telling their story. And then each diamond willow on that stick would be just beautiful and shining, and they got to share their story on that, similar to the dream catcher, but it was on their life and sexual assault, sexual abuse, and so they were able to honor their bodies again and honor themselves again. So one of the recipients who received that healing presented her diamond willow at the elders at the Healing the Spirit gathering last year. But another one said, "Can I speak to you?" I said, "Yes, go ahead." And she shared her dream catcher and shared her story. And each one of them were in their homes. They welcomed us in their homes, and they shared, and they were so happy to talk about the healing that they received. And you know, they just wanted to get up and do testimony. It was really beautiful last year to see that. So we had about eight women step forward from that mm-hmm. group and share testimony. It was really nice to see that healing happen for them, and you know, where they come from to who they are now. So it's really, Mother Nation is really about honoring the beauty and strength of our Native women. That's the most important thing that we do, because our women are our backbone of our nation.
Oh, beyond beautiful, really. I mean, I'm so touched by what you're saying and all these lives that are being transformed. Will you just take a few minutes? You've been through so much, and you've been so blessed, and now you're blessing others. But I think there are folks listening to us who need to hear from you. Your testimony, your encouragement. Would you take a few minutes and just speak directly to our friends who are going through things? they're trying to survive life, and lots of things have happened, and they just need to hear good things from a survivor like you.
I think the most important thing that we can do as Indigenous women and men, whoever's listening, is find your inner strength. You know, for me, when I was going through it, I had to find my inner woman and honor her again. And I kept praying to Creator, asking for help to find me open doors so that I can get the help that I need. I used to pray every day. And I even read Louise L. Hay book. One of my cousins was dying of leukemia. And she was coming up over to visit me. She was like my big sister, and she was smiling all the time. She was happy about life. She wasn't afraid to die. And I was blessed to have her on my path. And we went to the mountains to heal together. You know, I had a lot of animosity against my parents for being homeless and being out in the streets and blaming them for everything. So we went to see these healers, and she came with me there. She says, "We're going to go together." I was like, "Wow, okay. Big sister telling me I gotta go now," you know. But Creator brought those kind of people on my path because I asked for it. I really believe in prayer. I really believe that there's two worlds out there. There's a physical world and there's a spiritual world. And that acknowledging both is that balance that we can have on our path today. You know, there's a lot going on out there in the world right now. And some of it doesn't belong to us and some of it does. But if you can find a place in your home to create an altar or light a candle, if you have sage, get your grounding on look at your feet, look at connecting to Mother Earth, because she's there. She's there waiting for you to connect with her. And, you know, when I first connected with her was when I was out in the mountains. I went out to go camp on the hill there in my tent, and I was terrified of lightning and thunder. And what happens that night? It starts lightning and thundering outside. And I you know, when I first started, hooked up my tent, I offered tobacco to the land. I said, I'm going to be staying here tonight. I know there's other beings living here. There's insects and everything else. I'm taking over your home. I just want to pray to you that they ask for permission to be here to heal. So I went in the tent that night and I slept, and the lightning came. And I was terrified. I started getting dressed. I opened up my tent to go run down the hill to the cabins where my cousins were. And something was like, why are you here? So I sat down. I zippered my tent back up. And I laid back down and I laid with my on my stomach. And I prayed to her. I prayed to Mother Earth to connect with me, to keep me safe that night. And I felt the connection that night. And ever since then, I've been able to ground myself really easy. And she basically embraced me so that the thunder and lightning was going on around me, but it didn't even affect me after that. I was connected to the land. You know, there's different places you can go wherever you're living. You can go into the bush. You can go into some place to go connect with Mother Earth again, because she's waiting for you. She's waiting for you to connect to her. That's our original teachings that Creator gave us. So we have to go back to those original instructions. And all these things that are going on around us, you'll realize that's not part of us. You know, it can never break our spirit unless we allow it to. We have to go back to our spiritual self and, you know, acknowledge our physical self as well. That's what helped me get through. That's what helps our elders get through, and all of the women that we've helped. We've always gone back to those teachings because they were taken from us. There's all these different things happening. I won't go too much into the trauma that's happened. I mean, the genocide, we know what that is as indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also distractions. There's social media, there's TV, there's all those different things. When you need that time alone, just try to sit in silence and see what comes for you, because you have helpers waiting for you. You have your ancestors with you. And, you know, the young ones that got taken and stolen and were found in those graves, it's time to honor them and go back to our teachings, wear our hair long again, to do the things that they couldn't do, because they're an inspiration, really, when you think about it. There are warriors that had to survive what happened.
Yes.
They had to endure everything that happened to them, everything that was taken from them. We can honor that now as an indigenous people. So those are some of the teachings that we share and that I believe in myself for my own healing that I had to go through. And, you know, going to the water, you know, the ocean's about 2.5 hours from me, 3 hours. I go there and I do ceremony there. I honor the water, and been really blessed to be this part of in this part of the world. The Pacific Northwest is so beautiful, but I know that it's beautiful everywhere, you know. And we get blessed, but we got blessed with a whole freezer full of elk. We give that away to the community. You know, we get blessed with salmon. We give that away to the community, and that's our Thanksgiving is giving away elk roast and burger, and really have a true traditional staff. And we remind each other, you know, we share our teachings during the day at work. And it's just been a blessing. I don't know any other way to explain that, but to me, it's always going back to the original instructions that Creator gave us. And regardless of who your Creator is, you could be from different parts of the world right now listening. You have ancestors. And when you sit in a circle and you're doing your introductions on Zoom or wherever, talk about your people a little bit. You know, I'm Scottish. I'm Dutch. I'm Lakota. I'm you know, Haudenosaunee. Because when you do that, you're acknowledging your ancestors in that circle. Because we're always in a circle, mm-hmm. whether we're on Zoom or not. That presence of spirit is always there. And we can get through this pandemic, but we just acknowledge that. And keep ourselves grounded and honor our beings, honor our spiritual beings that Creator blessed us with. He's given every one of us a gift of love. We all have that and within us. And that's the strength that you carry. That's what you hang on to when things get rough. You turn into that tree that can weather the storm. You get your roots back into the ground again.
How eloquent and radiant. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I am always moved to hear the stories of resilience, you know, as survivors go through trauma, historical grief and trauma. Do you believe that there are also generational or historical blessings that we can tie into?
Definitely. You know, we have folks out there that are alone. We have folks out there that don't have their families anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't have their mom, or they don't have their dad, or they don't have a sister. And I truly believe that when you are out there seeking that support, that sister will come, that mother will come, that father will come. I lost my dad, and my sisters aren't here with me, you know, and I now have a dad that I found here and in the Pacific Northwest. You know, he's a part of my life. He's been with me through a lot of the hard times here that I had to go through, because a lot of, sometimes you end up in toxic, you know, environment.
Uh-huh.
And you have to get yourself out and brush yourself off. We do a lot of brushing off, we call it. But we have an elder come in and clean you off. We have Eagle fans that were gifted to us, and so we have those people that come forward, and you end up with a whole new family if you have your head up looking. Those blessings are there. I truly believe that we're never alone, and we just have to look for that, and they'll come. You'd be surprised who will come. Sometimes I get put on people's paths that I don't even know. You know, one time I seen a sister out there. She was a Caucasian sister. She was getting thrown out of a taxi van, and she was all her clothes were getting thrown out, and I come pulling around the corner, and I pulled off the road, and I just watched for a minute till he left, and I jumped out and started picking up her stuff, and I told her, I said, it's going to be okay, you know. And she's like, who are you? I said, I do work for domestic violence. She says, oh my God, really? I said, yeah. I said, did you want to pray? She goes, I would love to pray. And we prayed together there, and I looked up in the sky, and I asked Creator to help her and bless her with protection, and bless her with whatever she needs help with. Open those doors for her that need to be open so she can be safe again, and help her stand up again and you know, find herself again, find her strength again. And she cried, and she gathered her stuff, and I left, and I kind of sat there watching her. And then the van pulled back around again, and she come walking, running out there. She goes, you're never going to hurt me again. I'll never let you do this to me again. Just get out of my life. I don't need you. You know, I told her there's all kinds of help now for domestic violence, and she didn't have to go through that, and it's her decision. So she left him. she gained all the strength. I was just sitting there kind of chuckling, like, yeah, go, sister.
Oh, it's so wonderful that we can find family. I mean, family's not always blood. It's the folks that are there
right.
for you, you know, when you need them.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel as if we have a crisis of loneliness right now. Just, I hear this everywhere I go. People are just lonesome. And so with just these few minutes that you have left, could you share with us what's the first step if you're really facing some of these obstacles, if you're lonely right now, if you're going through issues or you have trauma or you've been through things? What is the action step?
I think the first action step is to acknowledge that you have the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you are lonely and that you do need support, and to start looking for support to fulfill your need. You know, sometimes there's sobriety circles. Everything's on Zoom. You can Google it. You can find out the link. You can start getting to know people. You can join our circles at Mother Nation. You know, I know there's a lot of support in every area. We're in a healing movement right now as Indigenous people. So if you look around, there's probably something right by you that's right there to support you.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that. And if you can't find it, call us and we'll help you find it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll be able to support you in that, in finding it, and it's getting that grounding again. You know, we lift each other up as Indigenous people. That's what we do. And that's what our role is, not just to each other, but to other folks too that need it. That's why we're offering this Healing the Spirit gathering, and making sure that, you know, we're offering it for free so we can celebrate who we are and our resiliency, what we've been through. And always to remember, there's a lot of horrible things happening on the news and everywhere else, but if you can find yourself through that and not lose yourself in it, that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. tell us one more time how we can be part of what you do, how we can find you on social media or connect with you or take part in what you're doing, be part of Mother Nation.
We have a website, too. It's mothernation.org. There's a lot of our stories on there. If you go look on the media pages, you'll see the stories of our women we've helped. Our mentees are on there, and all of our groups are on there. Our service providers are on there. Our stories are on there. I have a video story on there as well. I think that's a good place to start is there. Then you'll see what's needed. And we're always taking, right now, the biggest thing we need is donations of sleeping bags for our homeless relatives and sheltered relatives in Auburn. And we're looking for the thermal type of sleeping bag so we can hand those out. And if you want to come out and join us, we would welcome that as well. And we also have our spirit journey recovery house, and they're always in need of blankets, linens. Like we want to do a welcome basket for new ladies that come in. So when they come, because some of them come in with no clothing at all, they don't have any. They just have the clothes on their back. They don't have any towels or linens or, you know, pillows, nice fluffy pillows, so that they can have a home again. So we welcome that too there as well. And everything can be found through our website.
I am so thankful that you joined us today. I first learned about Mother Nation because I was looking for things on eBay. And there was a T-shirt.
Oh, really?
With your amazing logo on it, your beautiful logo. I didn't know anything about Mother Nation, but I knew, fell in love with that logo. I was pregnant at the time. And I missed the T-shirt. I didn't get the T-shirt. Somebody else bought the T-shirt before I could buy it. But the logo stuck in my mind. And I decided to look and find out who is Mother Nation. And so I started following you on Facebook. And just everything I saw was just amazing. I never got a T-shirt, but I still love your
logo.
Well,
you can still get a T-shirt. We'll make sure you get one, Dr. Dawn, for having us on your station and supporting us and uplifting us today. We'll definitely get you a T-shirt. And we also have earrings, too.
Oh, wow. Well, you just made my day. Thank you so much.
Our survivors, our women, yeah, our women who have we've helped, they make the earrings and they gift them back.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Well, I'm so glad that that little T-shirt on eBay led me to research you and then start following you on Facebook and everything like. And I shared it with my friends and I told them about every time you have an event, I tag everybody, you know, like, do this.
Oh,
you have
awesome.
To. And I love Mother Nation. And so it's an honor for me personally. That's how Creator works. A small thing like a gorgeous logo. And he opened up the door for me to connect with you and to learn from you and just to cheer you on. I'm a fan. I believe in you and what you're doing, Mother Nation, all of the folks associated with it. Wonderful, wonderful people. And so I'm just so honored to have you here today. And I just thank you. I thank you for the gift of your time, the gift of your service to other people, the T-shirt and earrings. And I thank you for being Mother Nation in this world and for all the people that you help. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having us. The artist for the logo is Gail Brissette. She's Ojibwe from Chippewa, the Kettle and Stony Point. I have to acknowledge her.
Yeah. It's
beautiful work.
Now everyone's quickly Googling it. It's gorgeous. Oh, well, thank you for joining us. I can't wait till the next time I get to have a conversation with you, but I appreciate you being here with us today. Thank you.
Well, we'll see you at the gathering.
Yes.
The Human Spirit Gathering. I've seen that you registered, so we'll see you on there.
I'm so excited, and I hope we'll see a lot of our friends who are listening today as well.
Yes, that'd be great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And to all of you who listen, to Adam H., who makes this series possible, thank you. Thank you. And I hope somebody has said this to you today. But just in case they haven't, the Creator loves you, and we do too. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, oh Lord. and you come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard. They never look back once the war forgave you.